This is Julie at Dogcast Radio. If you like dogs, wherever you are in the world, we're the show for you. Hello and welcome to episode 22 of Dogcast Radio. In this episode, Delia Graham gives her advice on training the leave command.
The dog may pick up a potentially harmful object. I had somebody that came into class horrified that their golden retriever had carried a sharp kitchen knife away.
In Buddy's diary, well, there's been a big change in Buddy's world.
My people, despite the fact that they have me to love and fuss and be looked after by, they have brought into our house where we live another dog.
And in Puppy Playtime, Jenny gives us the latest update on Star.
When she first arrived here, she had been used to living with other small white dogs, so it was quite a surprise to find a big black one already living here.
But before all that, we were invited to a behind-the-scenes preview of the upcoming fantastic Wag & Bone show. There are some marvellous doggy stories this year, which you can hear later in the show. At the shoot, we spoke to show originator and Dogs Today editor Beverly Cuddy. The first thing we discussed was just what is the Wag & Bone show.
Well, I like to say it's the show your dog would like to put on. It's a show that you go along with your dog and your dog has as much fun as you do. So it's a massive interactive show. Last year 15,000 people and their dogs came. And it's so difficult to describe it because it gets bigger every year. But if you spend all day, you probably won't see everything. But there's a lot of wagging tails at the end of the day, a lot of very tired dogs. But we find that there are lots of smiley faces and waggy tails at the end of it. And people going, gosh, you know we've had days out for kids before. This is the first time we've had a day out for the dog.
Mm. I think that one of the things that struck me, there was when you're out with your dog normally, it's sort of, you do get people pulling around, oh, your dog just touched me. And there was none of that. It was just, yeah. Where I go, the dog can go.
That's what we keep hearing from people, is they say that you go around that event and people talk to you because you've got something in common. You've all got dogs. Mm. Or even if you haven't got a dog there, you obviously like dogs.
Mm.
And it's like... It's like Britain was maybe 40 years ago, where suddenly people smile and talk to each other. And it's very friendly and it's infectious. And people go away from it, having patted and hugged millions of people's dogs. And it's just, it's like a walk in the park, only with only the nice dogs there. Because we do stress to people, if your dog doesn't like other dogs, don't come.
No.
Because they're going to have a miserable time. And we find that people are pretty good on that. Even last year, 7,000 dogs. Hardly a growl amongst them. I mean, we had more bee stings than the dog-related incidents.
And you can't do anything about that.
No.
So if I'm coming with my dog, what kind of fun activities can I get involved in?
Okay, right. Well, there's an area of the show called Game Zone, and that's a bit like sort of Alton Towers for dogs. And there's things like Temptation Alley, where your dog has to do a recall, pass things like food and other dogs and people trying to pat them. Nearly every dog succumbs and eats something, but you get a rosette at the end of it saying you survived. And there's loads of other scurries and stuff. It's just things that your dog doesn't need to be particularly well trained. It's all everyone knows about dog behaviour in these areas, and it's all totally safe. Your dog will be, when it's off lead, it's all contained. So fun times. Another area of the show, the biggest fun dog show in the world, we think it is, Top Dog, where there's 10 classes, but broken down into 7 different heats of each class, judged every half an hour. So 12 rings, constantly on the go. Nearly 2,000 dogs being judged between 11 o'clock and 2 o'clock.
Mm.
Totally fun criteria, no proper breed standards or anything. In fact, it doesn't matter how many legs your dogs have got either. We've actually got a huge number of three-legged dogs now coming to our show. And they've infiltrated every area of the show. We've got an agility team with 3 legs. We've got a doggy dancing dog that's got 3 legs. And we've even got an award winner that's looking for a home. So it really doesn't matter. Pedigree, mongrel, any type of dog. Other bits of the show, there's the trick and treat ring, where Gwen Bailey, the author of The Perfect Puppy and lots of other books, her and her pals at puppy school, teaching old dogs new tricks, or puppies new tricks, anybody new tricks. And by the end of the day, we're seeing people whose dogs can weave in and out their legs, doing rollovers, and they It's amazing the distance people come in just a day. There's one of the most popular bits of the show previously had been Sarah Fisher and Tellington Touch. Mm. So we've given them their own ring this year. Mm. So we've got all day Tellington Touch, which will be a relief for the people who used to crowd around the ring for the half an hour or so of words of wisdom from Sarah. And Sarah will be bringing her gorgeous husband, Anthony Head, for those who'd like to follow Anthony, the Buffy and the Vampire Slayer chap. I must admit, he could have his own little fan club.
His own ring, you could give him a ring.
We could do. He brings his own crowd. And then there's, for new this year, Sheepdog Experience Ring. Barbara Sykes, who was one of the first women to do One Man and His Dog, is bringing 9 trained collies and some sheep. And she's going to give people a chance to actually do a little bit of sheep rounding up with a trained collie so you can experience it yourself. The other big new bit in the show is agility's always been very popular. I mean, people never can see enough of it. So we've got a whole ring all day doing agility. Mm. There'll be have-a-go chances so people can have a go at going over the equipment properly supervised so that nothing untoward happens. But we also put out an appeal to for people to come forward who've got unusual breeds that do agility, because a lot of people think only collies can do it. Mm. But whilst collies can do it faster and can do it better, no, every breed of dog enjoys doing jumping. And we've got teams from, we've got Irish Wolfhounds jumping, we've got Great Danes, we've got Staffordshire Bull Terriers, Shelties, some really rare breeds. We've got a Legotto team, we've got an Irish Water Spaniel team, and the owners have really thrown themselves into the spirit of the show. And some of the owners are dressing up in costumes that match their dogs. And it's a crazy ring. Gosh, there's so many other rings. I could talk all day. Yeah. I'm sorry.
There's a rescue wall, isn't there?
Oh,
as well?
Yes. There's the whole show is organised by the 7 biggest animal welfare charities, and many of them, the majority of them, are involved in rehoming. And they don't want the show to be stuffy or lecturing or just make you feel bad, but they want to remind people that rescue's an option. It's a very good option. And there's a rescue village at the show. So if you feel like a sit down, particularly, because it is a very big, long day, and there's talks all day from people about rescue, but in there, there are 2 walls. One of them is successful rehomes, so you can see uplifting stories of dogs that have found a new owner and had a lovely life. And then there's the other wall, where you have to be very brave to look at that wall, and they're the dogs that are looking for homes. Mm. And there are lots of people on standby to make sure that there's no impulse purchasing going on, because the last thing you need is people to just take dogs in out of sympathy. There'll be lots and lots of home checks and all the advice you need on site to guide you through getting a dog. So lots going on. Oh, there's so many bits of this show. Mm.
And we haven't covered the shopping yet.
There's the shopping. And this year as well, in year one, pretty much, we were the best kept secret of the world, in that you couldn't, on the day, there was no media there at all.
Mm.
By year four, things have now got really, really silly, and you'll be tripping over TV cameras. Mm. We've actually got a whole ring this year where Channel 4's It's Me or the Dog are filming, and they're going to film an hour-long special on the Wackbone Show this year.
Yes, you did hear right. That interview was curtailed by the arrival of the dog on the motorbike. It was just that kind of day. But there you go. Wag and Bone is everything you and your dog could want, plus Anthony Head from Buffy the Vampire Slayer thrown in. Wag and Bone celebrates all dogs, and it honours those dogs with special stories. The next 6 dogs you're going to hear about are up for awards in various categories at the show. One very special dog is a Cocker Spaniel called Rupert, who belongs to a little boy called Jordan. Jordan and his mum, Karina, are both deaf, and Karina told me how Rupert has transformed their lives.
Can you tell us Jordan's story and how Rupert has helped him?
My husband died several years ago when Jordan was quite small. Jordan's profoundly deaf, but at that time he'd been making quite pleasing progress, both with signing and with talking. He used to say very simple sentences like fish there or ball up. When my husband died, he stopped talking overnight and he just refused to talk again. the teacher for deaf and speech therapists worked really, really hard with him, but somehow we weren't really getting anywhere with speech with Jordan. And then there was a lot of talk about getting a dog, because I used to have a hearing dog called Skipper, who died just before my husband. And we've been on the waiting list for quite a while, but sort of matching up my needs and Jordan's needs with the right dog was a bit time consuming. So Mum and I sat down and we decided that we'd buy Jordan a dog, a puppy that he could nurture and care for. And maybe we thought that would encourage him to develop talking. So that's what we did. We bought a puppy dog, and Jordan began to start talking to it. And we went to dog training, because they're both quite naughty, and they were doing that they needed boundaries. And when we started going to dog training, Jordan realised that if he said something to Rupert, he did it. Mm. So he started saying, "Rupert, sit. Rupert, stand. Rupert, do this, do that." And it's been fantastic.
Mm. Yeah. They obviously get on very well. There's a good rapport between them. Mm. And Rupert's excellent, isn't he, with him?
Yeah. Mm. Rupert's fantastic. And what's been very good is that a teacher for deaf has been able to make cards with Rupert's day, and thought that she's made doggy games. And so what he does when he's training Rupert also goes into the classroom. Mm.
So it's been a good motivation for him.
It's been a good motivation, because he realises that if he uses his voice, he gets a result. What we want to do is now to start teaching Jordan how he uses his voice, gets different results, and we're hoping to start dog agility in December when Rupert's 18 months.
Excellent. Mm. Oh, that'll be great. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Jordan's a lovely little boy, and Rupert responded so well to him. They make a very touching partnership. Some other touching visitors were three extremely cute puppies looking for a home.
I'm talking with Ellie Richmond from Battersea Dogs and Cats Home. Now, what will you be doing at Wag and Bone?
Well, Battersea always comes along and runs the doggy games section of Wag and Bone. Obviously, there's all sorts of games for people to bring their dogs along and take part in. We have things like, you know, how long can your dog sit to win a prize, or Temptation Alley, can they get through all the things and not be tempted to eat the sausages and that kind of thing. We obviously have an information stand and information about our dogs and cats that are up for rehoming as well. But obviously it's a really good fun part of the Wag and Bone. A lot of people like to take part in the game section. So
yes, it's excellent. We've been there ourselves. It's very good. And you're here at the photo shoot with some very special visitors. Can you tell us about them?
Yes, we have a litter of six Shar Pei cross Staffordshire Bull Terrier puppies that came into the home. We got the mother in when she was expecting, so they were born in the home and they've been with us for the last, well, they're nearly 8 weeks old now, so they've obviously not quite old enough to be rehomed yet. They've been out on foster with some of our staff to get them a bit socialised, and they're very soon going to be looking for homes. They're quite special because it's quite an unusual mixture. They still look very much like the Shar Peis, with all the wrinkly body and everything else, but quite a personality for a lot of them.
And have they been doing some learning this morning, is that right?
Yes, we're obviously doing something every year we do the big sit at Wag and Bone, and we're just trying to demonstrate how easy it is to get dogs to learn to sit. I mean, at only 7.5 weeks old, these puppies are sitting for us. You know, they've been going through the bit of training and they've picked it up really fast. So that's what we've been doing here this morning, just to demonstrate how important it is and how easy it is to get your dog to sit at any age.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, they've been good enough to learn to sit and have their photographs taken as
Absolutely.
Well, haven't they?
We even got all three sitting in a row together, which we didn't think we'd manage.
No. With a bit of support. Yes, excellent. Well, very good luck with rehoming them.
Thank you very much.
They really did learn to sit. Maybe only briefly, but they were very young. Tamara Lloyd runs the Alternative Animal Sanctuary, which is home to, amongst others, 33 horses and 4 dogs. Helga is a German Shepherd Collie Cross who was rescued from her original home where she was badly mistreated. Sadly, her rescuer couldn't cope with her, and she found herself at Tamara's sanctuary. Despite her bad start, she was making progress until disaster struck in late 2005, with the result that Helga needs a cart to support her back legs. Now, it is apparent during this interview that a busy photo shoot was in full swing around us. But here's Tamara, telling how bad health hit Helga around Christmas last year.
I think it was about the 4th of December. I took her to the vet because she seemed as though she had a stomach upset. She was all sort of tucked up and she wouldn't come with me. And she was usually really active and she was very quiet and very sort of nervy and all sort of tied up. And I took her to the vets and the vet said, oh, yeah, she's just hurt her back, just don't let her run around. And I was up all night with her and by 4 o'clock in the morning she couldn't walk at all. So I was pretty cross because I felt they should perhaps have sort of got on to something a bit sooner. I then took her back to see another vet and he said she definitely needs surgery, otherwise she really hasn't got a chance.
Yeah.
And so the vet told me she only had about 25% chance of regaining any movement again anyway.
Yeah.
But I just sort of looked at her eyes and I couldn't give up on her.
Yeah.
And to be honest, when she came around from the operation, I thought that I'd done the wrong thing because she was in such a state, mentally and physically. She still couldn't move and she was terrified. And she had all these new people and these different places and she was shut in a cage, which of course she couldn't really handle.
Mm.
And it was all pretty horrendous and I felt really bad that I'd put her through all this.
Yeah.
But I must admit now, I don't actually regret doing it because it upsets me that she can't jump and she can't do the things she used to do, but as she doesn't sit there thinking it's not fair, I can't do such and such, I think she's actually quite happy with her quality of life. So.
Yeah, well, she seems very happy this morning.
She's a very positive dog, actually. I think if she was a person, she'd just say, right, well, I can do the Paralympics now. Yes. I can't do the real one.
Yeah, and the cart is a special cart, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this is the third design I've now tried because I just keep trying to find one that lasts a bit longer. This one actually is possibly the least good design for her. She doesn't like it so much, she can't move around too easily, and it's quite sort of tricky to get her in and out of, and it's quite cumbersome. But as I say, the problem is just that it is an ongoing expense, and she I couldn't really keep her alive without them because she just loves her walks.
Yeah.
She loves flying around, going around, and doing her own thing.
The Kennel Club Charitable Trust has helped fund Helga's carts, which have to be shipped in from America. She's a beautiful dog, and it's wonderful that she can maintain her mobility. Kiki is a Chihuahua who is in foster care after the death of his owner. His story highlights the way animal charities work together to get the best outcome for the animals they protect. Steph Collis from Battersea Dogs and Cats Home tells Kiki's story.
Kiki is a genuine rescue dog. Unfortunately, his owner died. She, I believe, was reasonably elderly and she had 5 other dogs. She lived in Ireland and when she died, her dogs got taken to the local rescue centre. They were having problems, I think, or certainly they had so many dogs that they're having problems rehoming some of the dogs. And the Dogs Trust, which is one of the big rehoming charities in this country, helped them out. So they took Kiki and his friends, if you like, the other dogs in the household, and were rehoming them. Kiki is an extremely nervous dog, and they knew my love of Chihuahuas, and so they asked me if I would be potentially interested in fostering him. I said yes, didn't even meet him, I just said yes. You know, I've worked with rescue dogs a long time, if you can help them, you do anything you can to help them. Kiki's been with me now for about four and a half months, and it's been a long journey. It's been a very long journey. He's the type of dog that is very happy to be around people, prefers the company of other dogs, though, if he can. He's become obsessed with my Jack Russell, follows him everywhere, wants to do everything he does, and if he's with him, he's happy.
Yeah.
But he is very wary of having close contact with people. He's not very comfortable about being restrained, and for the first 3 months that he lived with me, he didn't actually come towards me or show me any signs of affection or want to be around me. He lived in our household, he got used to the other dogs, he got used to us being around, he wasn't scared, he didn't run away from us, but he wasn't happy to be touched or picked up or stroked. I had to leave him at work one weekend because I had some family staying and I thought he wouldn't be able to cope with too many people in the household. And when I went back into work after not having him for a couple of days, I went to get him from where he'd been staying, and he actually came over to me and licked my finger. That was 3 months after having him, the first sign of affection. It was immense. I was so happy all day. And since then, the progress has been great. He's still very uncomfortable with close contact. He has allowed me to pick him up, but I don't think he will anyone else at this stage.
No.
But he will now go up to other people and look to be stroked and actually starts to enjoy being stroked. So he's come along in leaps and bounds, but it's still going to be a long journey for whoever does decide to rehome him.
And he's looking for a home.
He is looking for a home. He does need to go into a household where there are other dogs. That's going to be extremely important. It will help him to relax and to be confident and to be happy. And needs someone who's prepared for a long journey with him, as I say. Mm. Who's prepared to not have too much of a relationship with him in the early stages, but to let him settle at his own pace and start to come to them for attention and affection. Which isn't necessarily what you expect when you get a dog.
No.
But who will give him that time and space to settle in. And I think once he comes out of his shell, he's going to be a very lovely dog to have around.
Well, we wish Kiki lots of luck.
Thank you very much.
Kiki clearly has a long way to go, but he's in great hands with people who will ensure he finds the right home. The PDSA became poor Staffordshire Bull Terrier Cross, Che's home, for 40 days and nights after a bad traffic accident.
Basically, last summer it was now, she was ran over, it was quite a bad accident. The driver actually drove off and didn't stop. As soon as we got to the vet, it wasn't looking good, it was quite critical from the start. Found that she broke her neck in several places and was completely paralysed. They didn't give her much chance from the start, so we may have to put her down like late at night. And then because she's such a young dog, they said, no, we'll take a chance and we'll try something and see if it works, and we'll see how she goes in the morning. In the morning, they decided that they were going to go ahead and put a full body cast on her for the duration of about 2 months. And within that time, she was fully encased, immobile. Yeah. And the nurses had to check her on the hour every hour and return her to the building. She stayed that way for 2 months, and then finally, when the cast came off, they weren't sure whether she would walk or wouldn't. It was a touch-and-go situation. Mm. But they took the cast off and she was able to walk again. Throughout the course of treatment, she always had high spirits and her tail was always wagging. Mm. She was really always happy, and it was really nice to get her home.
Amazingly, Shay suffered no long-lasting ill effects from that ordeal and is a normal, lively 4-year-old dog, thanks to the PDSA. Blue is a border collie who was given up by his first owners when they were expecting a baby. The RSPCA found him a loving home with Julie and Gary Chivers.
Now, training any dog can be difficult, but what's the added dimension with Blue?
Well, he's totally deaf. We've had him tested in a place in Winchester, and he's completely deaf, so we have to use everything by sign language.
And how many signs does he know?
He knows to sit, to stay, to lie down, a good boy, and to come back.
Mm. And good boy is an important one, isn't it?
Yes, so he knows all the basic ones he needs, yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. And how long has he lived with you?
We've had him for about 3 months, just over.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. And how did he end up living with you?
We actually saw him on the local TV, West Country News. He was on the TV, a little thing on the end of their news. They wanted a home for him because he'd been in there for 3 months. And nobody wanted him because he was deaf. Of course, once they put him on the news, everybody wanted him. But we were lucky enough to get him.
Yeah, he's gorgeous. And can you give him off-the-lead exercise, being deaf or not?
Yeah, we've taken him to a field off-lead, and he's got a 20-foot lead that he runs along behind him. So if we ever need to catch him quickly, we can grab hold of the lead rather than trying to catch up with him.
Yeah. Oh, he's lovely. And what's he like? Is he full of energy?
He didn't used to play when we first had him, but he's found out what a ball is now, and there's no stopping him. Mm. He just chases the ball all the time.
Mm. And has he gone to any training classes?
He's been doing training classes, yeah. He's just recently passed his bronze award.
Excellent. Yeah, so. And, does he enjoy that?
He interacts with all the other dogs and does all the same as the hearing dogs, so he's quite clever.
Yeah, so it doesn't give him any problems.
No, he seems to just take it all in his stride.
Oh, lovely.
These are just some of the stories to be found at the Wag & Bone Show. And remember the dog who arrived on the motorbike? Well, his name is Buzz, and Buzz and James will be competing in the Pup Idol competition at the Wag & Bone Show. I think it comes through in this interview what a character James is, but I can assure you that Buzz is just as much a character as his owner.
What will Buzz be doing at the Wag & Bone Show? I'm going to ride around on the arena on the bike first, and then we're going to do a little bit of a doggy dancing routine. That's the plan, and then we'll get back on the bike and ride back out again.
And how long has he been riding the bike?
Since he was 7 weeks old. Mm. I brought him home when he was 7 weeks old, and I just carried him inside my jacket, and then he gradually he got bigger, and his feet started emerging out the bottom of my jacket, and then I realised I'd need a bigger jacket, so I bought a bigger jacket, and I found this jacket with a harness on the out, like it's got like it's not a harness, like a bum bag that curves across the middle. Mm. And it's like an over jacket, and I used that bum bag as like a harness for him, strapping to the front of me. Mm. And then eventually there was one day that he was I was just sat in the street and he was just sat on the bike, and I thought, I don't know, he just looks like he's holding on to me. So I took him around the block, you see, without the harness.
Mm.
And that was it. Yeah, he's done thousands of miles ever since.
Yeah, and he also has a helmet and goggles, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got a helmet and goggles.
Mm.
Obviously he's got to have that protection, because there was a time before I had those, you see.
Mm.
There's a lot of flies, you see, especially in the summer.
Mm.
And they're a bit painful when they hit you, so obviously you've got to have the eye protection.
Mm.
And the helmet is obviously to keep the wind out of his ears as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So his ears used to flap quite a lot when we were sort of riding along.
Mm, mm. Now, we have to point out at this point that Buzz has been doing this a long time, hasn't he? And people
this is my biggest concern is obviously there's a lot of publicity with him on the bike, and people have got to understand that it's been a long process. I've taken it steady all the way through, because you just can't afford for him to get injured.
No.
So it's not a case of like he's, I put him on one day. It's since he was 7 weeks old.
You've been involved in some other programs as well, haven't you?
Britain's Worst Celebrity Driver. You see, what it was I was walking from Glasgow to Fort William, on the West Highland Way, and it's about 100 miles.
Hmm.
And I had all my backpacking equipment, and Buzz had his little backpack on, carrying all his food and his toys and his treats and all that.
Hmm.
Yeah, and obviously people find that quite fascinating, and German TV found it interesting, so we did a little interview with them. But a few days later, my cousin had to drop off the boat because his feet got too badly blistered, so I decided to carry on. And then a few hours later, I ended up at this pub, and I had a couple of drinks, and I thought, I'm not going to be able to make the 12 miles that he's ahead of me in just a couple of hours. So I thought I'd catch a train. Mm. But to get to the train station, I had to hitch a lift, so I had to get back to the main road again. And luckily, as soon as I got to the main road, there was this London cab outside this pub. So I just went out there and said, oh, excuse me, I don't suppose I could, you give me a lift, could you? And they said, yeah. So yeah, as long as you don't mind us filming. And I'm like, oh, well, what are you filming for? It's Britain's Worst Celebrity Driver. Mm. And it was Suzanne Shaw from Hearsay. She was driving.
Oh, yes, yeah.
For them to give me a lift, I had to do something. I had to entertain them. So they said, oh, maybe you can sing us a song. I went, oh, yeah, I'll send you some Bob Dylan. But as soon as I said Bob Dylan, Buzz's ears shot. And then he looked at me. And then I burst into song, and then he did as well. And they loved it. Yeah, but yeah, it was a lot of fun.
He's obviously a music critic as well.
Yeah, the thing is, when he was a pup, you see, I just wanted to socialise him, and I wanted him to hear and see as much as he possibly could. So he would never be a scaredy dog, because when he was in the litter, you see, he used to be the one that used to be at the back of the litter on his own, and he used to shiver and shake.
Mm.
I just took him everywhere.
Yeah.
I just got him used to all the sights and sounds. And then with the music, you see, that came by from Bob Dylan. There was a Bob Dylan track playing, and it was Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Mm.
But that was it. He just heard it one day and started howling. And it turned out to be the harmonica that started off. So obviously I bought a harmonica and tried him on that. And then I thought, perhaps I'll buy a guitar and I'll learn to play Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Mm.
And that works as well.
Yeah, well, you certainly did socialise him well, because he walked into that photo shoot and just came and met everybody and then just took it all in his stride.
Yeah, he is good like that.
Mm.
He's obviously he's got used to that environment, you see, because when he was about it must have been about a year and a half. It must have been about a year and a half, because we'd done our first trip to Scotland. And he did his first trip up Ben Nevis because he'd been up there four times. So like, there was a advert for extras on TV.
Oh, yes, yeah.
I phoned that number up and I had to go down to this hotel for this, obviously, I don't know, audition, whatever. But, of course, I took Buzz with me. So I didn't tell him I was bringing the dog, I just turned up with him. And, of course, he had a photo shoot and had a portfolio made up.
Excellent. And what other outfits does he have? I know he has his biking outfit, but what other outfits does he have?
He's got his life jacket for when we're kayaking. He's got his winter jacket on the front of the bike, which is like fleece lined and waterproof. Oh, he's got his boots as well for when we do our hiking and crossing rocky terrains and all that. He's got his protective shoes.
So they're all sort of functional things.
I didn't buy anything for, you know, diamond studded necklaces or any collars or anything like that. No.
It wouldn't suit him, would it?
No. The next sport for me would be paragliding. I used to do microlighting, and that would have been perfect because I could have plenty of room for him sat in the front of that. But it's trying to get one around. So with the paraglider, I can strap it to my back and jump off big hills.
Yeah, and does Buzz know about this yet?
No, he doesn't yet. It's something he'll have to, flight is something he's got to be introduced to. He spent a lot of time at airfields anyway. So he knows the sound of like microlights and airplane engines, but for the first time he goes up, what I need to do is I have to get him inside the plane and get the plane revved up on full power, because there's a lot of ultrasonic noise that comes from the propellers. That obviously sounds that we can't hear. And if he's happy with the sound of the airplane on full power, then it's a case of like just going up for a short little hop around the field.
Yeah.
And then just gradually get him to introduce to flying that way. Obviously, so he'll fly in a normal aeroplane, and then probably take it up in a microlight, and then eventually the paraglider will come along.
Perhaps when you've cracked the paragliding, we could catch up with you again.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no problem at all.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, well, until then, fingers crossed for Pup Idol.
Yes.
Well, that's certainly a partnership that I would like to keep in contact with. All the relevant links to these stories can be found on the Dogcast site. Wag and Bone is going to be a terrific day out. If you can get there, do. And if you can't, well, don't worry, because we'll tell you all about it. You're listening to Dogcast Radio on www.dogcastradio.com.
And now for our younger listeners, it's Puppy Playtime! Hi and welcome to Puppy Playtime. Star is my Bichon Frise puppy and has been living with us for 2 weeks now. Like all puppies, she's very mad and full of energy. However, she does sleep a lot and this is when I rest, which I don't get much chance to do. Having a puppy is a lot of hard work, but lots of fun too. When she first arrived here, she had been used to living with other small white dogs, so it was quite a surprise to find a big black one already living here. Buddy was equally surprised by her arrival. For the first few days, Buddy kept his distance, although Star became more confident with him. Gradually, they have become friends and now love each other. Star's tail wags like mad, and she is always desperate to lick her big brother. Buddy loves her too, and puts up with all her puppy high spirits, although his wagging tail fascinates her, and she treats it like a teething toy. It's funny to see them play together, because there is such a size difference between them. Buddy is gentle with her, but when they both hold one end of a rope toy and he twirls round, Star's feet leave the ground. Then, if she lets go, she spins off across the room, but she's soon scrabbling back for more. Toilet training is exhausting, because we have to keep taking her out and watch for the signs that she's about to toilet. She does seem to be picking up on the fact that she has to go outside, which is great. She didn't like her crate at first, but we have worked at making it a positive place where she gets treats and she doesn't mind it too much, although she prefers to be with us, especially on the sofa. The best thing about having a puppy is the love and the little puppy kisses she gives me. It tickles when she licks my ear. She has grown so much in the short time that she has been with us, and has adapted amazingly well to leaving her own family to come and be a part of ours. I know that putting hard work in now will mean that I end up with a well-behaved adult dog. But for the moment, she is a playful, naughty, sleepy, lovely puppy. Have fun with your dogs and make sure your dog has fun with you.
We all want a well-behaved dog that's a joy to be with, and that takes training. Delia Graham gives her expert advice on one of the essential commands to teach your dog.
I was out round about the other day and I met someone with about a 3-4 month old puppy. So straight away, you know, nice puppy, oh, I'll go over and say hello. So I wandered over and said, oh, can I say hello to your dog? And she said, oh, I should be careful because she's got a bone and she might think you're going to take it off her and she won't like that. And it just struck me that that's not really the way to think about things. And it made me think about, you know, the leave command and how useful it is to teach one. So how do we go about teaching a good leave command?
Well, it's quite straightforward to do, really. I mean, the example you've just given is, I think, perfect for, you know, the phrase prevention is better than cure. If you can prevent a dog learning that behaviour is successful, which it is, any kind of aggression towards a person is successful because we naturally back off from it. So I think, you know, teaching the leave or the off or whatever you want to call it is very important for several reasons. The main one is that it prevents possible confrontations like you just described between the owner or another human being over items that the dog finds valuable. And obviously then reduces its potential to behave aggressively. The other things also are things like the dog may pick up a potentially harmful object. I had somebody that came into class horrified that their golden retriever had carried a sharp kitchen knife away. And I said, but she didn't realise what it was. So that's another reason. Also, you have things that you value and you don't want the dog to have. Which can be, you know, a lot of dogs, particularly gun dogs, take articles of clothing, or it can be, you know, the biscuits off the coffee table. And the other sort of group of things that I still think of are the things that are undesirable to you, like cow pats or a small child's ice cream, which can be potentially embarrassing. Although it's quite a simple exercise, it's got lots of implications, I think. So if I now talk to you a little bit about how I go around teaching it, and that there are, you know, people have different ways, different people do it in different ways, I would put a cautionary note in that even though it's a really important thing to teach any dog, if you do have a dog which is aggressive around particular items, whether it's food or toys or whatever, I really need to stress the fact that you need to get the advice of an experienced behaviour counsellor who construct a programme that's for you and your dog and your particular situation. I would hate to think that somebody listened to this way that I teach and then went away and had a horrible experience with their dog. So it is an important thing, I think, to put in first of all. So assuming that your dog doesn't have any aggression issues with any items, then you can usually teach them quite quickly that they will be rewarded for moving their face away from whatever it is that they're interested in. Now, I usually start this with a fairly low-value food, dry biscuit, so it's not, you know, the dogs aren't going to be too desperate to have it. And I make sure that they know that I'm getting food out and it is going to be available, so you might need to rustle a bag or whatever. And then I offer the food in a closed hand, put it by the dog's nose, keep my hand still, and what the dog usually does is lick, paw or chew at the hand. And you just tolerate that and wait for them to stop. As soon as they stop, you push in the word leave or off, whichever word you would prefer, and you feed them from an open hand, giving them the phrase take it. Now, going back to that, sounds quite straightforward. If you find that your dog is chewing or biting you quite hard, then as you've got a sort of closed-up hand, what you can do is rotate it slightly. And that tends to put them off actually trying to get into a good gnawing position. Or alternatively, if it's a puppy and they've got, you know, some of them have horrendously sharp teeth when they're trying to do this, and then they're a little bit rough with their mouth, and you may find that it will help if you put a leather glove on to teach them the whole exercise with a glove, and then what you need to do afterwards is teach them again without the glove. But obviously that's going to be quicker because they understand what you're aiming for. So you're offering the food in a closed hand. The puppy turns its face away for whatever reason, even if it's sort of accidentally distracted, doesn't matter. As soon as that face loses contact with your hand, you put in your word, leave, and then you open your hand and tell them to take it. You need to do that, obviously, several times and over several sessions until you know that when you say the word leave, your dog will keep the face away from your hand and wait for the reward. So the next stage is that you begin to increase the length of time that you wait before you offer them the reward. And I think also that it's important that you give them a phrase that gives them permission to take the food. You don't just use good girl or good boy. An example I always use in classes is, okay, if you dropped a chilli pepper on the kitchen floor and you said to your dog, leave, and the dog left, and then you said, oh, good boy, the dog then is going to say, okay, I can have that. So I always mention that as a key point. Put in leave. You can say good dog, because that's not your command for taking food. You say, good dog, that was really brilliant. You can pick up the chili pepper, put it out of the way, and then you can reward your dog and say, take it. So it means you're able to at least put the verbal praise in without any risk to your dog. This exercise not only is good at teaching the dogs to leave articles later on, but it also, particularly for young puppies, it can teach them to take food a little bit more carefully. Some puppies have quite a lot of difficulty controlling their mouths. And in fact, this week in a puppy class, I have a Rottweiler puppy, and she just takes my whole hand into her mouth and is chewing and mouthing. Her owners had tried to teach her this, but hadn't succeeded, so I had a go, and this is what she was doing. So what I ended up doing with her is teaching her to make a solid contact with her nose against my hand in order to get the food. So that once she's got that idea and everything's a little bit more controlled and she's not play biting, then you can start to teach her the leave, you know, in the sort of standard way that I do. So although it's kind of a method that I would say, yeah, it's successful, then you do have to adapt it, obviously, for different dogs.
Mm. It's part of teaching, isn't it? You break it down into manageable steps. And, you know, if that's not a manageable step, then you break it down a bit more if you can, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. And the other thing also, which I certainly find in classes, is people can be quite harsh in the way they say the word. They sort of leave and expect it to work by saying it loudly and fiercely at the dog. And really, leave will do if they understand. And so quite often I will ask people to use the word off because it sounds a little bit softer. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what word is used as long as whoever's teaching them is consistent with it. The sort of next step on once you're offering your dog food and in your hand and they're not taking it is you can start to teach it with particular objects that maybe your dog steals. Children's toys are a typical thing. So that, you're putting in the same word, leave or off, and then rewarding for leaving that particular item. But you set it up in a training situation so that the dog understands, and then you can then move it sort of more into real life, really. The other thing that you can do, which I think is important to sort of back up all this leave, the given items because I've asked you to, is to also teach your dogs to feel comfortable around your hands, that they're not necessarily coming to take things away all the time, but they're coming to give. I'm just thinking about this because you mentioned the puppy that had a chew and was not comfortable with people approaching it. So again, a way of teaching this is to use something that is of low value, that the dog's not desperate to have. So possibly a hide chew, but for some dogs that can be, you know, very valuable anyway. You've got to go with what your dog thinks. Let the dog chew whatever the item is. Approach it with a small smelly, tasty treat, something really yummy. Show them and lure them away from the chew with it. and pick up the food, the chew, and then give them the treat, and then give them the chew back. And you do that lots of times, so the dog realises that you're not really going to steal all these things, and they don't have to protect them. Another other sort of food handling exercise is when a dog is eating food, you approach the bowl and drop something nice into the food, into the dish for the dog to kind of think, well, okay, this is good when people come near the bowl because they give me nice things. Also, you can have the food in your hand, and as long as the dog is comfortable with you being nearby, you can put your hand into the bowl, open it up and feed them something nice from your hand as well. But with that, I would again sort of err on the side of caution. Watch your dog's body language. If at any point it becomes tense or begins to eat its food a little bit faster, stop. Go back a pace and throw the food from there. So you're not putting the dog under pressure. At that point, it's thinking, oh my goodness, they're going to come. I need to worry about my food. And you just keep practicing until you can get closer and the dog becomes comfortable with you, and then you do it with another member of the family and so on until the dog is happy about having people around them when they're eating. And this quite often is an issue with rehomed dogs. And as long as you are cautious, you don't put the dog under any pressure, there shouldn't be any real problems. However, again, if there are any doubts whatsoever, then don't go through this on your own. Get in touch with a reputable counsellor or dog trainer. Uses kind reward-based methods, and you can start building bridges between you and the dog, and the dog learning that you're actually quite good, really, because you supply nice things, and you're not going to always take things away, and you're not going to be unkind to them either. As I'm sure you're aware, quite often, people react to their dog growling at them by effectively growling back by shouting at them and possibly physically punishing them. And all that does is increase your dog's fear level. So it's an important, it can be a really, really dangerous situation. However, it can be resolved quite easily before it gets to any of that kind of level. And as I said right at the beginning, prevention is better than cure. Even if your dog is absolutely fine with food, there's no harm in doing this and proofing them even more, because you don't know what's around the corner. You don't know whether some small child's going to wander along and try and take something off when you're not looking. So I do think, as I say, prevention is better than cure, and proofing your dog is absolutely essential these days.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's an excellent point about you have a release word for whatever it is. For example, with Bud, if he's told to sit or down or whatever, his release is okay. Because years ago, Mum had a German Shepherd, and it was the first dog that we'd had for years and years. And if he sat, and then it was, oh, good boy, and he knew he could go then. But then, as you say, you could not praise, because good boy meant, okay, I can go now. And it's something that people, we didn't think about it until we read it somewhere and think, that's a really good point. But yeah, you have to have a release word, whatever it is, and it shouldn't be, good dog.
No, but so many people do it, so...
As I say, it's not something that occurs to you as a first-time dog owner, but, it is a really essential part, really, of, you have a different release word, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But, people don't realise that dogs don't understand that good dog in that context is not the same as good dog in that context.
Yes, we mean different things and they don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I know what we mean, but the dogs are just thinking, well, I know that sound, I've heard it before.
Thanks ever so much for that, Delia.
You're very welcome.
See you then.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye then.
Great advice there from Delia, whose own well-behaved dogs are proof that her techniques work. Delia is an instructor at Puppy School, run by Gwen Bailey, and both Delia and Gwen will be at the Wag & Bone Show in the Trick and Treat Ring. Buddy's Diary.
Hello, Buddy the Luck Labrador here. I mean Bubbly the Dock Labrador. No, Lubby the Back Labrador. I'm sorry, I don't know whether I'm coming or going at the moment. You will not believe what has been going on in my house. I almost don't believe it myself. My people, despite the fact that they have me to love and fuss and be looked after by, they have brought into our house where we live another dog. It took me a while to be sure it was a dog. While I am fairly tall, with a glossy short black coat and an undeniable friendly appeal, the newcomer is small, white, fluffy, and I suppose what you humans would call cute. When she first came into our territory, I just couldn't help staring at her, wondering what on earth she was. She was the size of a rabbit that used to live here, but smelled like a dog, and spoke a smattering of dog too. The funny thing is, she was looking at me as if she was trying to work out what on earth I was. The first day wasn't too bad because she slept a lot, but on the second day, she woke up full of energy. Her tail was up, full of confidence, and she started trotting up to me as bold as brass. Now, I don't want to sound like a coward here, but I am aware that I am not the most assertive dog in the world. When she kept coming up to me, I was a little troubled. I tried ignoring her, moving away, growling, and still there she was, trotting up, yapping her little puppy yap, sniffing at me, wanting to lick me. Another disconcerting thing, she gets fed many times a day. I'm not good at counting, but I know I get fed just after I wake up and just before it's bedtime. Meanwhile, she's got her nose in her bowl time after time. My people try to fob me off at her food times with various goodies like a tastily stuffed Kong or a tempting queue, but I'm not that stupid, certainly not about food, and I know a meal is a meal and a snack is a snack. I'm not one to brood though, and I have discovered that the pup is a messy one who doesn't finish her meals, and if I'm quick, I can munch her leftovers. She gets praised for odd things too. I go to the toilet in the garden. I've been doing so as long as I can remember, and no one really takes much notice. This fluffy little baby manages to toilet in the garden, and they make a great big fuss of her. What on earth is that about? One of the best things is that with the newcomer, a lot of new toys have arrived. I love toys, and I was determined to get in on the fun. It's strange, but that's how I began to recognise the potential of having another dog in the house. She'd been chewing an interestingly scented, fairly hard bone that I'd had my eye on for a while. Suddenly, she was whisked out to the garden so she could toilet, and they could make an unnecessary fuss, and the bone and I were left alone. Needless to say, I was on it like a shot. I was delighted, and without thinking much, I took my prize out to the garden to perform a victory dance. I wiggled around, jumping in the air, dropping the bone on the ground, pushing it with my paw, chasing it again, the usual sort of thing. I noticed out of the corner of my eye that the puppy was dancing about nearby too. I thought she was going to get the bone, so I snatched it up and ran away from her. She followed me, and my goodness, for a little thing she can get some speed up. When I stopped and looked at her, she stopped and looked at me, wagging her tail and yapping. I ran away again, and she followed me. We did this several times, and it slowly dawned on me that he was trying to play with me. This put a new light on things. A newcomer would mean a drop in attention for my people, which is bad, but a newcomer who would play with me would mean lots of extra playing, which is good. I tried out a few play bows, and she jumped about in delight. It didn't happen overnight, but gradually we have played together more and more, and you know, she's not half bad actually. The downside of us being friends is that now she wants to lick me all the time. She puts her little puppy paw on my face as if to say, hold still. Then she wants to cover me in puppy slobber, all over my nose, eyes, ears, and so on. Now, I'm a big, bold Labrador, not into yucky, girly stuff. But since she's turning into such a good playmate, I dogfully put up with it, then try to distract her with a toy. Apparently, her name is Star. Funny, but I thought I was the star around here. Oh well, things seem to be turning out for the best, and I'm sure it will all be okay once I've got her fully trained. Till next time.
we received an audio email from Steve and Pam, and we thought you might be interested in hearing it.
G'day, Julie. This is Stephen Woof Woof Pam from Melbourne, Australia, host of Hound TV, the world's first video podcast for dogs and their owners. Just wanted to let you know how much I enjoy Dogcast Radio. I hope one day our show will be as good as yours. In the meantime, consider this an invitation for you and your listeners to pay us a visit at www.houndtv.com or on iTunes. Keep up the good work. Bye for now.
If you'd like to check out Hound TV, and I recommend you do, there's a link on the Dogcast site. Don't forget, there's still time to enter our competition to win yourself a set of the CDs, Animal Healing and Music for Pets. Till next time, look after yourselves and your dogs.
Thanks for listening to Dogcast Radio, available from www.dogcastradio.com. That's dogcastradio.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us, and wherever you are in the world, we'd love to hear from you. You can do so in a variety of ways. By phone from the UK, you can contact us on 0121 288 0922. From the US, you can contact us on our American number, which is 315 849 2022. From any other country, you'll need your international exit code and then 44121 288 0922. You can contact us on Skype with the ident Dogcast Radio. That's all one word, Dogcast Radio. By email, you can contact me on julie@dogcastradio.com. When contacting us by email, if you have the facilities, please record your questions or comments and send them to us as an audio file. That way we can include them directly in our programme. We can accept most formats, for example, WAV, MP3. All these methods of contacting us can be found on our website, which is www.dogcastradio.com. And as ever, the final word goes to Jenny.
Why did the hot dog put on a sweater? 'Cause he was a chilly dog.